Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first ever Cow Daily. What is it? Live stream. It's not a podcast. It's going to take bloody ages not to say podcast, isn't it? It kind of is a podcast if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or anything like that. Full disclosure, I had a bowl of soup and it had a bit of goat cheese in it just before we went on, and it's really clagging up my throat. So apologies if you can hear clicks and pops that are coming from my throat, but I'll try and work through it. Alice, how are you doing?
Exhausted, hostile.
Exhausted, hostile.
Same as usual.
Have you got? Can you tell us why you might be hostile today?
After, you know, when you've just had one of them days where it's just been complete bullshit from the minute you've opened your eyes, and then like up to this current moment, which is just like me trying to like decompress. I'm only just getting over booster brain fog as well. So if anybody watched the live stream we did on Sunday and thought I seemed like even more of a space cadet than usual, then that was why, because I'd had my booster and I'd had a really, really rough Saturday, and I was only just starting to get over it a little bit on them by the time we hit Sunday.
I couldn't really tell. I was feeling it a bit Sunday morning as well. It was a really stressy morning, and wasn't until like sort of later on in the show where I just felt like I was like coming round a bit. It might have just been a Sunday morning thing, I don't know. Or the dogs that I have, which I want to murder sometimes, which we spoke about on the phone earlier when I was trying to like do work for this, and they're jumping on us.
Thing is, if anybody saw these dogs, you would get no supporters, like, because they are like the cutest things you've ever seen in your life. It's like they look like such angels.
They are, they're lovely most of the time, but if you want to get any work done working from home, good luck with yourself. Can you hear me all right, by the way?
I can hear you absolutely fine. Can you hear me?
Happy days. I'm just going to tweak something on the box, because I've got some weird shit on the screen. Oh, no, don't want to do that. So you can hear me good?
Yeah.
It's all good. I'm going to leave it alone then, because as long as you can hear us, that's all that matters. If anybody's out there, please comment, like the post, but please do share the stream. Helps with algorithms and all of that kind of stuff. What we'd really like you to do is go to the pinned post on the Facebook page or the link in bio on the Instagram page. Sorry, that goat cheese is like really impeding us saying certain things. And there you will find links to the YouTube channel, for the Cow Daily YouTube channel. It really helps if you watch this stream on the Cow Daily YouTube channel, simply because we're trying to get the channel monetized as soon as we possibly can. And the way you do that is having 1,000 subscribers, which we've got, but also 4,000 watch hours, which seems like a lot, but if 100 people watched for blah, 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 and there's the multiples, and we'll soon do it if everybody goes over there. And I see people have, because there's people dipped out and now they're going over there. So thanks very much. So if you could go over to the YouTube channel, that would be absolutely tremendous. Today, what we're going to talk about is the biggest elephant in the room ever, Boris Johnson's succession of parties. And we're going to talk about the potential for a new party in the UK of the left, and talk a little bit about the actual state of the Labour Party. And there's some really good work being done, I think, in the last 24 hours by Evolve Politics, which we've got to show you on the screen, and talk a bit through that. Also, at the end of each segment, we'll be taking your comments as well. So if you could get them in now, or as the show's going on, and I'll go through and we'll get a few of them on the go. Just we did the tests for those that didn't watch them or even did, and there was comments flying up a lot. And I think if we get them like in, it's really good, and we've really enjoyed like sort of bouncing off everybody. But I think if we have a bit more structure now that we've went live, then it's all good. Sounding good there, Alice?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Spot on. So, Boris Johnson's, oh man, where do you even start with this dickhead?
Other than the wood chipper?
The billionaire machine, Kaustrigan posted the other day.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny. I was wondering if she's going to lose the page though. Kind of saying out on there anymore. But Yeah, I mean, I have a real issue with this, like millions of other people. And I think the best thing to do is start with a bit of context. And what I'm saying with that is what was actually going on, mm-hmm. like at the time, what we were having to do as a population. And it was still that kind of like little bit, you know, at first where it was like, yeah, we're all in it, like we've got to make the sacrifices. That vibe was still going on. Mm-hmm. But the context was we were being told to only meet one person outside. We were also subject to massive restrictions. There was a hell of a lot of deaths going on, and we've seen so many heartbreaking stories like on the news and everywhere else today of family members coming out and saying, well, I just want his head on a spike. And that's deeply upset, and rightly so. The Dominic Cummins Barnard Castle thing had not broken. That had not happened. And they're having a party with 100 people in Downing Street. Bring your own bottle.
And was this like, it was 55 minutes and an hour after it, you know, that they'd been announced that we can only meet one person outside as well, wasn't it?
That's right.
That's literally the time.
The Met police tweeted, and I think this was on the same day, mm-hmm. You can relax, have a picnic, exercise, or play sport as long as you are on your own with people you live with, just you and one other person. Right off.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I was working from home at the time and basically kind of really, really isolated at that point in time. But I remember that bit where it was, you know, you can meet one person outside, you know, which was really difficult to do depending on people's circumstances. I know people who were like going out and having to, you know, frontline workers who were having to go out and work 12, 13 hour shifts, mm-hmm. you know, and that, you know, they had to be there like as part of their job. But then, you know, kind of coming back to an empty house and being told they can only see one other person, which probably wouldn't have been feasible anyway. So we're basically just going home and sitting there with nobody until it was time to go to work again. I mean, that exactly. was, you know, and they would, and that's what they were doing. Has there been any kind of response yet from from the Prime Minister about this yet?
Well,
or is he trying to persuade Carrie to have another baby in the next sort of 5 hours? So we can look, my child, distract you.
You know the other twat who brushes his hair with a toffee apple, Michael Fabricant? He's come out, and never a more appropriate name, the fabricating twat. He's come out and said, and this was from his tweets today, only they were invited to relax in the open air and close. It's fucking hell. I'm getting so angry even reading this shit, trying to justify this. And closed garden would not have increased the risk of contagion. No outside guests were invited at all. These people had worked incredibly hard on all our behalves on the vaccine program. I'd like to point something out before I bring you back in, Alice. The mm-hmm. vaccine program didn't start for 6 months after this.
Yeah, so that's bollocks anyway. Sorry, I'm just recoiling at seeing Michael Fabricant's name, because like literally 10 minutes before we came on air, I was upset because I thought I had Michael Fabricant hair. So I was desperately trying to change it.
Look at the syrup on it, man. Have you seen it? Look at the syrup on him.
That absolute state, man. It's ridiculous. He's got like the proper can I see the manager haircut, hasn't he? but no, I mean, yeah, that's a good point about the vaccine program there. You know, it hadn't been rolled out yet. Also, there wasn't a, you know, worked incredibly hard clause in all of this. You know, as I just said, I know lots of people who were working 1,000 times harder than they would have been. And actually, one thing we've learned through all of this, actually, you know, because this isn't just an isolated incident, is that nobody in that cabinet works incredibly hard. What they do is get absolutely twatted on champagne, you know, do a couple of lines in parliament toilets to give themselves the courage to make policies that are going to devastate the rest of us. It's like, do they do any of this sober? is that, from what I can see, they don't.
Well, I've heard it argued quite like compellingly that like the capitalism runs off massive lines of coke. If you look back at the 2008 financial crash, there's a hell of a lot of beak flying around in the city. And obviously, as we know, what beak does, it suspends emotion, but also increases risk-taking behavior. I'd like to hear more about that. So if anybody has worked in that industry and wants to get in touch with us in confidence, please go to milkcowpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks. I'm just like, I'm trying to not lose me rag too early because I will never be able to get through this. I'm absolutely apoplectic with rage. Like the context, as I said earlier, is very important on this, isn't it? And it's like what we were having to do at the time and what we were being told like to do as well. And you know, us, we're not naturals at being like told what to do. You know, but we'll do it if it involves like looking out for other people. That was my motivator back then and still is. It's like, how would my actions affect other people? Because it would break my heart if I was to put anybody else in danger.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, pretty much everybody around me, their decision making was made on the same basis. You know, they might have been involved in things in trying to distribute kind of essentials to, you know, to people who really needed them, but kind of doing that as safely, you know, even then all of that was thought of as safely as possible without putting people at risk as well. It was just it was just everything, and it's they just don't give a shit, really.
Well, this is the thing that don't. Did you see that fucking toffee apple twat smirking on the news? Smirking.
Yeah. And he can go lick a light socket as far as that. Well, I mean, he looks like he already has, doesn't he? But like, it is, no, I mean, Michael Fabricant is trash, and he always has been, and he's always going to be. But
I was talking about Boris Johnson, and it tells you a lot that there's a couple of toffee apple twats. There's more than one, really, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh God, it's bad, isn't it? When you can't kind of clarify which one you mean.
I think there's only one wearing a syrup, though. I think Johnson's receding too much. He's got that kind of like, you know, the Bobby Charlton wrap around, but like it's all like here and here and here and here and tweezled around. What he needs to do, like myself, is get himself over to Turkey. It's only a couple of grand, and apparently you don't have to use like dead Turkish granddad hair, which is what I thought it was, you know, for the implants. I'm seriously concerned. Now that I know, I'm seriously thinking, oh, well, wow, I wouldn't mind a bit of that. But unfortunately, skint right now. But one, you'll see it in a live stream in the future. I'll have like a full-on like, hi, everybody, stroking it like a cat. First time since I was in my late 20s and that.
I think you should go for some kind of Leo Sayer sort of look. It's Leo Sayer, definitely.
Like a white man fro. Like fall over on a treadmill on national television. Do you remember that?
Yeah. That's how old we are. We remember that.
Anyway, back to these bunch of twats. I am absolutely raging, and I'm gonna like take in what some other people say to try and compose myself. So, from the Muslim community, it's Jawad Khan. Give him a follow. We were told we couldn't celebrate Eid to keep our community safe. Meanwhile, the Prime Minister was having parties in his back garden. This government has been mocking us this whole time, doing as they pleased whilst demanding we make sacrifices. Big one, isn't it? It's like, do you remember how much there was this little sort of, the first time the sort of, do you know what it reminded us of when the first lockdown was called and the period of time afterwards? You know, over Christmas, like say for about 10 to 14 days over Christmas, we're absolute bastards. Like slap on the fake smile and pretend to be nice. They're like the living embodiment of the hashtag be kind thing, which is just obviously an absolute gang of bullshit. It reminds us of that, where people like were on the best behavior for ages, and then all of a sudden it's like, but what about these Muslims? You know, like it starts eking in.
Yeah.
And I remember what was going on at the time when Eid was occurring and people were on the starting blocks waiting for the Muslim community to slip up, you know, the slightest thing. So somebody like on the way home from the mosque or something, either was three of them walking along.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, because I remember that as well, and there was lots of it going around, and you know, kind of, yeah, but the Muslims can do what they like and all the rest of it. But actually, no, that's, you know, what the case is that, you know, like, our politicians can do what they like, you know, the incredibly rich can do what they like, and what more are we going to let them keep doing to us? It's almost like, you know, again, this isn't the first thing, you know, that's that's happened. This is, you know, it's not even the 10th thing that, you know, that's kind of come out. And that's not just parties, it's all the rest of it. And, you know, yeah, we're foaming and we're livid. And, you know, but there's a lot of people as well who are just kind of like, I think by this point, they're just so fatigued with it all, are just kind of shrugging it off. And I get that. But at the same time, it's like, I honestly, I know I cracked a joke before about like Boris kind of, you know, as we speak, trying to make Carrie like pop out another Ben, just to try and distract us all, you know. But at the same time, is it even really necessary at this point? Because does he just think like, oh, you know, just ignore it for a few days, you know, and let it all die down and they'll forget about it? Or they'll hold up some kind of sacrificial lamb, you know, like they have, you know, like they have done before, like they did with the last one, with Allegra, what's her face?
Allegra Stratton.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, as much as I enjoyed watching her crying on the doorstep, it was mint. You know, she was absolutely, you know, she was really, really low down the ladder of kind of people who were responsible for that. And you know, and like this has all come about because of a leaked email. You know, that's come out where it's kind of mentioned like bring your own bottle and everything. But why is it only just being leaked now as well? I think at this point I'm so suspicious of them that something like this comes out and I'm like, okay, we've just got this email. What bit of legislation are they going to like shove past through Parliament without us noticing? You know, is this
another
distraction?
it is, because there was like the Labour Party, apart from the usual suspects in the Socialist Campaign Group, abstained from. It was something to do with a cap on benefits, and I'm saying it's something to do because I just haven't had a chance to read into what it actually is. But I tell you what, it's going to affect millions of people's lives in actuality. Meanwhile, we're talking about these dickheads taking the piss.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying like what we're going to do about it? Literally, what can we do though? Like, what can we do? And one of the reasons we've decided to come back and do this is we don't know what to do, but we want to try and do something. And then hopefully by a period of osmosis and organically chatting with the community and other people, we can kind of work out something to do. But right now, as we'll talk about later in the show, the opposition is non-existent. Without a new entity that comes along to reflect like real people's concerns, what are we going to be able to do? So that's where we are right now, if we're honest. What are we going to do? I don't know.
No, and I don't have the answers either, and I wish I did. Otherwise, I'd be like on here, kind of going right. This is how it's gonna go. But it's, you know, I think like a lot of people, I feel really like, you know, I feel really angry, but like really powerless at the same time as well. Sure. And you know, I've been involved in different kind of, you know, kind of community organizing before and actions, but it's just, you know, it wouldn't. We can make jokes about having a revolution or something like that, but like, you know, can you see this country doing that at this moment in time? It ain't going to happen. Everybody's too exhausted. Everybody's like fighting to meet their bloody basic needs at the moment. But I think, you know, we do need to look at not expecting politicians to get us out of this, certainly, you know, and I think we can all, you know, we can look at pockets of society where that's all already happening. You know, it has been happening for a long time where, you know, where we organize to kind of meet our own community's needs and keep building on that to show that we don't need them. And actually we never have. We never have.
No, we haven't. And we know this because until Corbyn came along, we didn't like meddle with any of that parliamentary politics thing, because the way I look at it is this, right? There's millions of people in this country who can't afford a Conservative or a Labour government to get in, because it makes like zero difference for them. It's like I see a lot of people like talking about, oh, call a general election, then we'll find out what the British public think. And then vote in who? North Shropshire happened just before Christmas and it turned over this massive majority, but the Lib Dems got in. Mm. What? Yay. Brilliant. What's that going to do? What is that doing? What, just going to like jump into another coalition later on? Probably. So it's like, we seem to be like, it, when it gets like even a slight bit to the left of the center, just a little bit, then every liberal bastard in the media starts like going, oh, watch out, communism, alongside the Tories. But I tell you what, they're all attacking the Tories now that it's safe to do so. Mm-hmm. That it's safe, yeah, that somebody who would actually have made a difference would have got in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they've got a lot of blood on their hands as well. And it's about time they started like fessing up to what they've actually done. Your James O'Briens, people like that. Mm-hmm. Like all of this magic grandpa shit. James O'Brien, who voted for Boris Johnson as London Mayor in 2008, but he regrets it now. But he's got a book out of called How to Always Be Right. Wanker. He's the son of a former Daily Telegraph journalist and public school boy. Wow. And he's the one who's always right, telling us we're always right. Like, listen, he wouldn't know poverty if it hit him in the face with a wet fish. So he really shouldn't be like sitting there proclaiming that he knows fuck all about anything. Mm-hmm. And he's just one of many examples. The whole of The Guardian can go fuck themselves as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they kind of made the gateway for it all in the first place. It was almost like, oh, well, The Guardian are kind of, you know, doing it. We can all wade in. It kind of almost meant, you know, because they're sort of seen as the lefty, you know, the lefty paper. And it just kind of opened the floodgates for the rest of it as well. It was the same. Again, the same, we've talked about soundbite politics before. It was the same soundbites kind of going throughout all of the mainstream media outlets.
Like all of this is as well, is in some respects down to them. Because if you look at the difference between 2017 and 2019 in terms of general elections, there's a big difference. I mean, we'll touch a bit more on that in the second half of the show when we start talking about Labour and potentially something that we can actually do, because we want to try and have some form of like solutions focus, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just sit here every week and just go, this is all shit, isn't it? We've got to actually do something with this. I just don't know what that is yet. I mean, I've just come back off the back of a big illness, so I'm just kind of finding my feet in that. But I tell you what, I like seeing that twat Johnson smirking on the telly. If I wasn't in a rental and it was my telly, I would have probably stuck my foot through it.
Mm-hmm. Like, and the other thing about this whole thing about this particular party as well is, you know, and him being on TV today like smirking about it, is it, wasn't he apparently in intensive care the month before this?
Yeah, a month earlier. It was in the April, and the party was in the May, and he was like, obviously, he was giving it all this kind of like little puppy dog thing, wasn't he? And like at the time, we were saying, "Ah, fucking hell, like that's a load of shite, isn't it?" Like he had a light cold in intensive care, did we? Mm. Like, I mean, allegedly, whatever you want to say, but like given the fact that I've spoken to people with long COVID or like who'd had COVID just a few weeks earlier, you're not ready for no 100-person party in the garden. It's the last thing you're going to do. So there's some rabbit out. And we know he's a lying bastard, so it's not beyond the realms of possibility that allegedly he was swinging the lead, as we're saying, Gates said.
Absolutely. And I don't normally go in for that kind of thing. And I think at the time I even like gave him the benefit of the doubt. I was just like, look, there's no way they're going to, you know, they would have been able to pull that off, you know, without kind of people finding out. So he must really be ill, like, because I know there was loads of people kind of doubting it. But So, you know, obviously, as the pandemic's progressed, I know people who've been in intensive care themselves, and I know people who've worked in intensive care, and they certainly wouldn't have been, you know, those patients wouldn't have been going to a party a month afterwards. Yeah. Like, absolutely not. No, there's definitely, if he was there, I don't think there was any real need for him to be. It was, you know, was it just because he was the prime minister and they were making sure nothing happened to him or what? But he couldn't have been as sick as what intensive care patients are when they're in there. Like, absolutely not. That I can't believe.
Yeah. Right, we're going to take some from the good people out there. Got one here. Lisa Gregory. Hello, Lisa. People will forget about it come election day. They let their greed take over and sneakily vote Tory. You make a really good point. And traditionally, that has been a factor. And I think if the North Shropshire by-election before Christmas wasn't so close to whatever scandal it was last time, there's that many outrages every day. You just can't possibly compute the lot. But some heinous shit had went on. And that's why the people of North Shropshire voted in a Lib Dem up the revolution. Mm-hmm. Cheers for that, Lisa.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's all greed. I think some of it is we're just, you know, we have so much of the other, you know, othering in the media, and, you know, like what we were talking about, Jeremy Corbyn. It was like all they had to say, what, you know, when any criticism came of the Tories was Corbyn's a terrorist sympathizer. And it was just like, you know, at this point, you know, I'm still seeing people on social media, less and less, admittedly, who are going, yeah, but imagine how bad this would have been if Corbyn was in. It was like, are you being serious? Are you still clinging to that? Like, you know, it's just ridiculous. Eat the rich.
Des Hunt. Check out Ancestor Leather Crafts as well. He makes a lot of like really cool old school stuff for TV series, like historical stuff. But he's quite right. Eat the rich, bring the rich,
your own bottle. Rely on Jez for a brilliant comment.
Cheers, like Jez.
Yeah, no, agree.
Joanne G, I live in a Tory heartland in despair. My heart does go out here.
I've got an MP who might as well be a Tory. He's not.
Is it the one that I think it is? That guy. We know that guy. We'll tell that story on a future show about what we did back in the day. It's that guy, isn't it? Oh, God, it is that guy.
It is.
Subscribe to all of the things, because we will talk about this one day, but we just haven't got the time this week. But that was some hardcore business, wasn't it? Steve Jackson. Hello, Steve. Lovely looking dog there as well in your thumbnail. Depressingly accurate. Join us every week as we depress you in a really accurate manner.
No, we won't. We won't. The whole point of this is that we're not going to let them get us so downtrodden. I know we are at the minute that we feel that we can't do anything about it, but I think kind of reclaiming our own joy and our, you know, our own kind of mischief against them is really kind of what's key in this, and that we won't let them do that permanently. You know, they might kick us down temporarily, but never for good.
Correct. You're right. Yeah, I mean, there's a nice question here. Daniel Curtis. Hello, mate. Haven't seen your name for a while. Good to see you. Can our democracy really change anything? No.
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 It's not fit for purpose.
Right back at you, Steve. Depressingly accurate in two little words.
Oh.
In its current form, let's be honest, it can't. And we will do a whole bit piece on this in the future, I think, because that is a really good question. So remind us on after this to write down Daniel's question in a future show. We'll do, can our democracy change anything, and try and get a balanced view.
Yeah.
But without a change to the first past the post system right now, probably not, but it doesn't mean shouldn't try. And I think that's a really good segue into the next bit after this great comment from Andy Turner. Hello, Andy. The fact that the opposition is so piss poor makes it even more disheartening. But say Corbyn start a new party. There's now no way they would gain enough seats to make a difference. Sorry to be such a doom and gloom merchant. It's a good, you know, I mean, I'm going to try and make the case. We're going to try and make the case in the next segment. But before we do that, if you are on Facebook, please go to the YouTube channel. You can really help us as we grow the Cow Daily channel. You can find that in the pinned post on the Facebook page, or if you go to the Milk the Cow Instagram page, go to the links in bio, you will see one for YouTube. Click the button, you can go there, and we'll be live right in front of your face there. So if you could just dip over there now, that'll be really cool. Also, if you would like to support the start of an independent media organization, i.e. Cow Daily, brought to you by Milk the Cow, what we're trying to do is legitimately set up as a proper outlet. We're joining the National Union of Journalists. Obviously, that costs money for the memberships every year. Also, we want to join IMPRES, which is the Independent Media Regulator, which also costs money. They regulate independent media to a higher standard than the mainstream media regulator, which I believe is IPSO. You know, we want to do this properly. I mean, it doesn't mean you can't say fuck shit or whatever else while you're doing it. Nobody said that. We're working class. That's how we talk. But that doesn't mean everything that we research is not as accurate as it could possibly be. And we want to be regulated. We're inviting it because we ain't got nothing to hide in that regard. So if you want to do something, that's one thing you can do. Also, you can gain access to the Milk the Cow private chat forum. You'll get a notification for that when you sign up to become a patron. So if you could do that, then that would be just really, really helpful, and it will help us grow this, employ people, make this bigger, start making some documentaries where we go and tell people stories in their communities. Big plans, and with you we can do it. Good stuff. So next, Alice, what do we have? Let's get rid of that. Labour, a new party, all of that kind of carry on. You're laughing, but let's try, because I think this can work, right? I've said this for a lot of time, and I'm looking at it from a long-term perspective, right? I'm looking at it from a 5 to 10 year perspective, and I'm looking from it from a perspective of who, arguably, of the last 10 to 15 years has been the most influential force in politics in the UK. Let's say England more accurately. Who do you think that would be?
I really like to say Emma Goldman, but it's not. She's long gone, and she was only in England for a short while during her life. It was Jeremy Corbyn, absolutely. Yeah,
I don't think it was.
You know,
I think it was Farage, UKIP, Brexit Party, or whatever iteration it was. How many seats did they win in election? And I'm not talking about like Douglas Carswell and people like that who defected from the Conservatives. Zero. No. They didn't win a seat.
None.
But yet they've changed the entire face of Britain. And we have to accept that.
Yeah.
And that was done over decades. Couple of decades. Remember saying like 20 years ago you would see Farage and his initial speeches and you were thinking, who's this guy? And you
I remember him about 20 years ago when he, I think was when I first kind of became aware of him, and just kind of, I think like a lot of people just thought he was a joke. At the time it was like, you know, and that you had like Robert Kilroy Silk and stuff as well, which, you know, obviously he was kind of like laughed out of town like a little bit eventually, but
he started another party when he was kicked out called, what was it, Dignitas or something?
It was
Veritas.
It's Veritas.
It's Latin for truth or something.
Pretty sure Dignitas is something a little different.
Have you ever heard the Cunt in the Gang song, Let's Send Nan to Dignitas? For people who saw Lad Baby in this whole Christmas number one war, like that Cunt in the Gang.
Well, I saw that.
Lad Baby actually tweeted, it says a lot about people that they would buy something with that in the title, and I was like, I've literally seen them four times live. So what does that say about me?
I did like their reply to that as well, though, saying, you know, it's a response. No, I think they although they didn't get to number one, I think they definitely won that one.
Yeah, they're definitely the people's princesses, aren't they? So, in my opinion, I've actually had a bit crack with him after the shows and that kind of thing, and he came on the drink with them with after one of them as well. Absolutely love the guy, and like it was the people's number one, really, as far as I'm concerned. I'd never heard of like Lad Baby or whatever the hell it was before that. So as I was saying, anyway, bringing it back to what we're actually here to talk about, I feel that like that was a party on the right, UK Brexit, that kind of movement, and they were extremely successful without actually getting any parliamentary seats. Now they did win European seats, but obviously the turnout for the European elections was traditionally lower. It was like low hanging fruit. It was a bit easier to do, and then once they had that platform, it kind of spiraled and it spiraled, and then the media. Do you remember when they were getting like on Question Time? Like Nigel Farage had a season ticket for Question Time. He was just on there. I mean, has he got the record amount of appearances or something? So, like, I'm not saying don't platform people, but don't like give. We might as well call it the Nigel Farage Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I don't think with that any kind of new left party is going to get any kind of favorable treatment, like they did, if we're honest.
Mm-hmm.
Far from it. I mean, we've seen what it's going to get. It's going to get pelters. It's going to get hell. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. That doesn't mean we shouldn't think of it as like something that could move the Labour Party to the left. If the Labour Party is indeed still around, as I'll talk a little bit about later, Evolved Politics has done a really good bit of work. So shouts to Evolved Politics. And please do follow Evolved Politics. I've got a lot of time for them. Let me pull this up. Just bear with us. Sorry, that's the wrong one. Here we go. So Matt Kennard, also another outlet from the independent media, which I've got a lot of time for, Declassified. They're doing proper journalism. And Matt especially is like a great voice. So he's saying that the Labour Party is set up to absorb and neutralise the left. Whenever a progressive wins leadership, the party destroys them. Michael Foot was elected leader in 1980. The SDP sabotage operation in 1981. Some people who like maybe weren't born there will maybe know the history of like David Steele and the SDP. I haven't got really time to go too deep into that, but go and check that out if you want to know more about what went on there. Corbyn was elected leader in 2015. The coup was in 2016. Change UK et al. Came from that. And Matt maintains its Labour service to the establishment. I would go further with that and would suggest the Democrat Party in America has a similar function.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on that?
There's very little I can find to disagree within there. I've had similar thoughts to this as well. And, you know, and this is coming from somebody who would always, you know, kind of fought against party politics, but then, you know, kind of coming up to the 2019 general election and the couple of years running up to them, kind of against, you know, what I think was my better judgment, I decided to join the Labour Party,
mm-hmm.
You know, which sounds ridiculous as an anarchist, and I do accept criticism of that. At the same time, I'll maintain, you know, that the original Labour movement has its roots in anarcho-syndicalism. So it's actually not that weird to kind of say that I did that. And, you know, people watching might not know, I've had two family members close to me who had been sanctioned more than once before, who were a very, very vulnerable people and had told me that they wouldn't survive a third time, you know, which was likely to happen, you know, when you're watching somebody forced to go on a computer course despite them having fingers like, you know, the fucking Elder Wand through arthritis.
Yeah.
And the doctor basically saying, I don't want my patient using a keyboard because look at the state of their hands, and the state turning around and saying they have to, or, you know, they're going to lose every penny that they've got. Labour at that time, one of their promises was there would be an immediate end to sanctions. And although I don't normally go in for, you know, kind of politician promises, that is a promise that could have been very easily kept. And, you know, so based on that, it's like, yes, I don't believe in party politics, but you know, there's people who aren't, you know, if we don't do something, are not going to be around And by the time the next general election comes, yes, we need to still keep building our movements and stuff and things like that. But we can't fuck around here, you know. And for me, you know, just on my own principles, I kind of felt like I had to do this. And, you know, joining the party as opposed to just voting them was about trying to keep Corbyn in, because they were already, you know, we knew there were already moves to try and get him out there. Yeah. And while I certainly don't, you know, didn't think and still don't think that Jeremy Corbyn is, you know, the kind of saviour of everything,
absolutely,
you know,
not.
It was important for him to kind of remain there at the time, because our worries were, you know, that if they got somebody else in, like Starmer, it would all go to shit. And yeah, guess what happened? So that's, you know, so that's why I did it. And it's, I'll never dip my toe into that again. You know, we've kind of, I think me and you were discussing the other day about the possibility of him setting up another party. And I think, you know, I mean, come on, right. Are they calling it the Peace and Justice Party?
Well, I mean, there's no confirmation that like this is actually going to happen. This was an article in the Daily Telegraph, and some of the criticisms of that is like the Daily Telegraph have a direct line to Corbyn, you know. But it could be seen as this, where quite often you would get like people's political opponents, they'll throw like a story and it's just got a spokesperson or insiders said, and the press never have to reveal their sources, do they? Strange. The doing it to test, like, it's like putting a flag up just to see how people respond. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously there's been a huge outcry. There'll be like 10,000 socialists there if Jeremy Corbyn has to stand as an independent or even under the banner of the Peace and Justice Party. So I mean you would expect them to call it the Peace and Justice Party if indeed this occurs. So is it the name you've got an issue with?
I just hate it. I'm sorry. It's such a
villain. What do you hate about it?
Because it sounds like, you know, that tent full of hippies at Glastonbury who you stumble when you're on it, like, you know, when you kind of, you know, you've just got out the hospital, the tent after falling in a swamp when you were full of ket, and like, you know, the Peace and Justice people come in and take you into their tent and promise to kind of give you some food, and then by the end of it you've joined a cult. It just sounds a little bit like a bit soft and flowery. And so I'm not saying, like, you know, call it the party of mead and nettles or anything, you know, or anything like that. But I don't know. It's just the name put me off, like, a little bit. I mean, I'll
cringe.
Never.
You've got a bit of a cringe vibe going on. Like,
I do have a bit of a cringe vibe going on. I'll never ever. And I, you know, I said at the time I left the Labour Party again that I'll never ever join another political, like, you know, kind of party politics again. That's me, sure. Done. And I don't care who it is at the helm of it. For me, it's not what happened to him. You know, yes, Jeremy Corbyn is not a saviour by any chance, but he's not a bad man. And in terms of politics, he's, you know, he's kind of quite a good guy. And we've seen that anybody with even a shred of integrity is not allowed to survive in our current system. It's not about him and kind of saying, oh no, he's done and anything like that. It's just existing within this system that we have. It's not going to work on that alone.
No.
It's not going to work on that alone. And none of it ever has. You know, if you go back to like the 1940s, you know, when we kind of seen like a massive labor movement and, you know, the start of the NHS, that, you know, wasn't just politicians fighting for us and, you know, a really good set of people kind of, you know, who we voted in, and that was organized workers and, you know, kind of communities and stuff coming together that made that happen, that did kind of get behind some of them. And I think that's what we need to look at building if we've got even a cat in hell's chance of making things even a little bit better.
I understand. And can I counterpoint this, right? I don't give a fuck if it's called the Care Bears Riding a My Little Pony Party in a cuddle puddle. I don't give a shit. I don't know. I don't care what it's called. I just know we need something. And what we need is something for us all who feel like beaten and abused and broken down to rally around. And I fully believe, right, that the only person who symbolically can make sense of that is a 72-year-old grandpa called Jeremy Corbyn, because there's just nobody else who, like, defines that moment in time. Now, if it did happen, I think there should be an open leadership contest. And, you know, I think he'd get elected as leader, but the lad's knocking on. Now, the other side of it is, until very recently, until this article, really, I just didn't think it was ever going to happen, because in spite of him being all abused and everything like he has been, he's been a Labour Party lifer. And somebody was saying, I can't remember who it was, but they were speaking to him last year, and he was like very clear that it's still like change has to come from the Labour Party. And I refute that most strongly, Jeremy. So I don't see how it can. I don't want to be in the same party as Peter Mandelson. Somebody, you know, we're talking about like context and whatever. Peter Mandelson was pictured at some kind of like blowing a candle out, like maybe it's Jeffrey Epstein's birthday, after Epstein was nicked for being a massive nonce. Mm. But like, knowing all this, Keir Starmer's brought him in as some kind of like special advisor or whatever. And as soon as that happened, everything started going tits up, even worse than it was before. The Mandelson seat in Hartlepool, that they lost that. That got lost to the Tories in that by-election. So it's like, what on earth are they thinking? They're in this kind of like a small like Westminster bubble with the Labour Party, I think. And I think they're really disconnected from, you know, the millions of people living in poverty that I was talking about earlier. The Labour Party offers no solutions for them. And that's my baseline. My baseline is very simple. Does it provide everything everybody needs and a little bit more? Not survival, an ability to thrive, you know? If it doesn't, then I'm not interested in what you've got to say. Start at that baseline, and then we'll work from that base. Because I'm not prepared to compromise anymore. I'm not, and I will not compromise anymore. We've done the compromise, as you've said, by joining the bloody Labour Party, a party in the Blair era where we took to the streets and protested. I mean, the Afghan war, I was a like kind of politically active, as you know, before that, but that really kicked us off into the stratosphere with direct action and things like that. Yeah. I mean, like, I haven't been involved in that for many years, like 20 years, is it? Something like that. But it felt necessary at the time because, once again, like, what we're going to do, call a general election and vote Blair out. For who? The Tories. It's rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, and I'm fucking sick of it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But I think that, like, for me going further as well, it's just like it can't just be about who we have at the head of whatever party. I agree with what you're saying about, you know, the Labour Party. And it's, I think it's a shame when they're, you know, kind of short of kind of, if we could just get, you know, get us all and, you know, basically every ex-miner, you know, you've ever met at the Durham Gala, you know, get us all together and just get them to drag out every, you know, every Blairite Labour politician, you know, if that could happen, then yeah, maybe it would stand a chance, because
it'll,
you know,
be good. They're who
represent Labour. They are who, you know, if you've ever been to the, you know, the Durham Miners' Gala and heard them speak, you know, before, it's that's what the, you know, when I talk about the Labour movement, that's who I'm talking about, because that's kind of who is familiar to me in terms of, you know, in terms of when I think of Labour. And that's why I've kind of supported them before, and the way that they've organised their communities before, and what they've been through. And yeah, that's ordinary working people, and that's what it's about. But for me, it's like career politics. It's normalizing, kind of get, you know, what we were just talking about in the last section, getting wankered in the Parliament bar and then coming and making devastating cuts. You know, you had like Therese Joffrey singing "I've Had the Time of My Life," you know, just before the, you know, she was the work and pensions secretary.
I saw it, mate.
You know, she was on karaoke singing that shortly before bringing benefits cuts to millions of people. And
it was the night before.
And they're always astounded when they get any criticism for it, because it's normal. for them, that's just the way they've always done things. It's, you know, so they always kind of like look a bit shocked when they get called out on it. You know, I've said for years and years that if I went into work and, you know, screamed across the room at my colleagues, I would be, you know, kind of sat in a disciplinary hearing within an hour. But again, like, you know, they kind of go to the rest of us about being kind and, you know, not trolling them online and stuff and things like that. And like, if you heard the way they speak to each other, like,
yeah,
in thing, it's absolutely hideous. It's absolutely hideous. I worked with a theatre director years ago who used to come to England once a year to do like project work. And he said he used to watch BBC Parliament for a laugh. Like, he used to watch BBC Parliament as if it was a comedy show because he found it so hilarious. This was a guy who lived in Italy where Berlusconi was in power at the time. So the fact that he thought we were like absolutely ridiculous was terrifying, and it's got a whole lot worse since then.
You're not wrong. Tell you what, I'll put some Evolve Politics' work up because it's interesting. What they're making the case is like, the Labour Party's on its way to being bankrupt, which may even force the issue. So let's have a look. So, owing primarily to Starmer's lurch to the right and his decision to backtrack on a large proportion of his leadership pledges, more than 100,000 members have left the party and a number of trade unions have withdrawn funding of the party. In October 2020, Labour's main union backer, Unite, voted to cut its funding to the party by 10%. And in December 2021, under new General Secretary Sharon Graham, shouts to her, she's been great so far, the union further announced it would cut all political donations to Labour, with Graham deriding Starmer's rightward shift. In addition, the Communication Workers Union voted in November to spend all donations to Labour, with the union's General Secretary Dave Ward stating that under Starmer's leadership, the party was failing to connect with working class communities. You don't say. And in September, the Bakers Union, one of the Labour Party's founding union members, voted to disaffiliate from the party entirely. Sorry, that's in there twice. Apologies. In recent months, the party's attempt to mitigate its losses in a number of ways, including mass redundancies of party staff and trying to lure wealthy donors to hand over cash to the party. According to the Times, numerous Labour sources, including members of Starmer's inner circle, have admitted the party is on the verge of bankruptcy. And one of Starmer's advisors even admitted that the prospect of declaring bankruptcy was now being actively considered, stating this: there would be some advantage to declaring bankruptcy. You could start a new organisation with a new membership. The figures I've seen suggest we've lost well over 100,000 members. I'm one of them. And so are you. And most of those were the people who knocked on doors. That's also millions of pounds no longer coming in. So, my good friend Alice, what do you make of all that?
Well, first of all, I knew a lot of people had left. I didn't realise we were looking at like 100,000 people. Yeah, like, that's shocked even me. Like, I've got to say, I was like, woof. Like, yeah, how do you come back from that? You know, but I do think that the Labour Party is like one of those ants that have been, you know, it's been commandeered by one of that parasitic fungus that kind of, you know, that kills it but still makes it like walk around things. And yeah, and the parasitic fungus is the likes of Tom Watson and Starmer and all the rest of it, which I actually wrote that in a letter to them when I withdrew my membership as well.
Do us a favour, 1 week, like, give us your resignation letter to the Labour Party, because it's bloody brilliant, and we'll read it out.
We'll read it out, yeah.
Oh, mate, it's a work of genius. But, yeah, so basically the Labour Party could well be on the verge of bankruptcy, and I hope it goes bankrupt. I hope it's erased from the planet. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute den of bastards, with a few notable exceptions. But I would like to say this, even the Socialist Campaign Group, like, there could be like bombs going off with Keir Starmer as like Prime Minister, and they'd write a couple of stern letters and post them on Twitter. Like, Jeremy Corbyn has been like without the whip for over a year now, and he's done nothing, not a thing. Like, you've went, "Ooh, that's terrible," like on Twitter, a few tweets isn't doing it, man. Like, but at the same time, I really don't want him to get the whip back and all of that. I'd really like him to do what I want him to do, which he's probably not going to do.
No, and it's weird. Like, in some ways, I can kind of, you know, for, you know, and I know what my own personal feelings are about party politics, but like, I kind of get where they're coming from at the same time, because, you know, this is, you know, it's not just the Labour Party, it's the Labour movement, which has been built over hundreds of years. You know, as I said, you know, going back to the gala, look at the banners that they carry through, you know, that's all, you know, that is what they built. And to just kind of go, all right, well, let's just let it die, because it got taken over by a bunch of centre-right, you know, parasites is really sad. And it would make me really angry that it would have to be dissolved because of that, because they've got no right, they never had any right to be within that movement, but they were, you know, on the back of fucking D-Ream or whatever it was, you know. Like, just honestly, things I have such a visceral reaction to that song now. Whenever I hear it, things can only get better.
Well, you know who the keyboard player was in D-Ream, don't you?
I do indeed.
Oh, it's that, like, it's that planet nonce off the telly. What's he called with the prince?
You frightened Cox.
He was another one of these, like, tweeting the night before the 2018 election. I hope I'm not misquoting him, because I think it was him, but there's other, it might be that Simon Fringe who does the programs on the telly, Simon Reeve. I just get them mixed up all the
Simon
time.
Le Bon there when you said the Fringe.
Simon Fringe. I'm probably just jealous because I need to get into talkie. But that's what I'm going to come back with, man, like a proper, like, fringing it up thing, like, fully, like, freaking people out and that. Now, it takes about a year to grow in, but, you know, it sounded good. I actually don't want to shortchange him, because I'm not sure if he did tweet the night before the election. I just can't bring myself to vote for Corbyn, but I think he did. So if anybody can clarify that, then let's slag Planet Nonce off as well.
I'm going for the journalistic integrity there, and like making sure your facts are right before you learn.
Well, listen, we're going to get regulated. I'm not dancing with that devil. Like, we'll be in the National Union of Journalists for a week. Rip your card up. It hasn't even come yet. Well, it's your own fault. It's got lost in the post. Burn it when it arrives.
Come on there and call Brian Cox a planet nonce.
Planet nonce. Imagine that, like, an image of the Earth with his kind of, like, facial features, but it's this, like, fringe.
Oh, God, that's one for the Flat Earth Society, isn't it?
So, I mean, I'd love all of this to happen. I think as a movement or a group of people or whatever we want to call it, like, people who give a shit, I don't even want to say the left or whatever, because I don't know what that is. All I know is, like, good people and people who act in bad faith. It's generally one of those. I'm not really that arsed to a level about people's politics, as long as they're willing to have a dialogue about it. But what we're talking about is some of the worst people on the planet throughout this show, be they Tory or be they Labour. And it's arguable who I despise more at this point in time. I'm really not sure. Probably Labour, because I expect it from the Tories, and this is on the day of the garden party latest outrage and everything else they've done. I really dislike a lot of people at the minute, and it's something that I need to work on, and I think this is one of the things. We've been stuck in the house far too much, and we kind of still are, so this is part of why we're doing this, to kind of reach out to other people. Let's go to some of the good people out there and see what they've got to say. Da-da-da. Lisa Gregory. Why are the unions not in the streets? It's not COVID. Workers' rights have been stripped long before that. Great point. We've got Jez is referring to the membership. That's a quarter of the membership, isn't it? The 100,000 people. I think so, but I'm not sure, to be quite honest with you. Got Nick Breeds. Unfortunately, we are so divided in this country, we've become like America and its polarization. And so you end up with no viable alternative. An American politics grad mate of mine summed up the US election when Trump got in as there were two douchebags contesting the election. The least douchebag got in. Perfect. Fantastic assessment, Nick. Really spot on.
Do you know what I think it's like, though? Because we all talk about, like, kind of Labour, particularly, like, the, you know, kind of the centre-right kind of faction of it, and Tories, you know, like, kind of two separate things. Like, a lot, you know, they're not really, and a lot of them have kind of, you know, when they were younger, you know, they used to, you know, they've swapped affiliations and stiff loads and just gone with the one which has given, you know, was going to give them the best career springboard to get into it. And then, like, now they're all in power. The only thing... Right, the only thing I can like liken it to is, and I know this is ridiculous, and I'm going to get like slated for it, but have you been watching Cobra Kai?
Like, I haven't, and I'd love to. And the reason I haven't is because I'm trying to learn how to edit things properly, like audio and video, and I just haven't got time for anything.
Well, I haven't gone there. So basically, like, what it is you've got all these like kind of leaders of these different like dojos and that who will like all like fucking hate each other, but they'll all collude with each other when it suits them. You know,
Tory party, isn't it?
And they'll, you know, they'll work together and then they'll fall out and then they'll work together, they'll fall out. And like, you know, they're kind of all getting on just fine. And yet it's like the kids are like kicking the shit out of each other and like their lives are going to hell as a result of all of this. And it's just like, yeah, actually, are we kind of living in some like really weird, like, you know, kind of quantum version of Cobra Kai? You know,
well, you make a really good point, and I've never been able to put it into like Cobra Kai terms, but like you're quite right. I've often said this about the Tory party or the right in general. They are absolutely brilliant when they've got an outside force attacking them. They'll all coalesce around it. It's shield wall. It's like, let's all get them, you know, like Brexit party sitting out of different seats and within the Tory party. But as soon as that's over and it's safe, they're just fighting each other to see who can be the leader. And I don't want to see any new movement or a new party like that. But I tell you this, like, if it does happen, we need to definitely get on the front foot and on the attack. And what we do need is to, like, have our own media. That I know. And I think that's, like, what our role could be within the thing. Go ahead.
We can't dismiss the role the media played in all of that. I think that's maybe something we haven't mentioned today.
It's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's going back to this, you know, the Boris Johnson party, lockdown party thing as well. You know, I think there was one of the tweets that we saw was that, you know, there's no way that there's political, you know, somebody said there's no way that, you know, political journalists would not have known about that. And I would go on further and say, I'd be very, very surprised if some of them weren't there in attendance in it. You know, we saw that at the Tory party conference. We've got absolutely no media accountability and transparency whatsoever when it comes to politicians. They're all in bed with each other.
Absolutely right. They are all in bed with each other. So maybe we just need to set our own thing up. I don't know. But, you know, we'll work this out as we go along. This is the start. Hopefully we can all push on and rally around from here. We just want to make a small contribution to actually turning the tide, because I'm sick of having my head up my arse, to be honest. I'm tired of it. Yeah. It's time to pull our collective heads out our arses, wipe the shit off it and crack on, because we've had 2 years of, like, I haven't even built a mourn 2019 properly because the COVID thing kicked in and then everybody's in survival mode. So that's still happening. The pandemic's still ongoing, as we know. We'll obviously cover that as we go forward, and we'll cover a lot of other things. So please do comment, rate, and subscribe. We've done now, by the way. Please do comment, rate, and subscribe. We have Spotify now, so if you get your podcasts and audio stuff there, there'll be a feed. There's a feed cracking on. There's a pinned post on the Facebook page. It's got one of those link in bio links. You can click on that. It's got every Multicow link. We're even going on TikTok, man. But not like I thought that. Honestly, thought TikTok, like, for people, like older people like us, like, it was a bit noncey, and it's like all kids dancing and it does me head in. But it's not just that. Apparently, like there's a lot of organic reach for this kind of content. So we're going to start uploading it to that once I've like nailed the edits and stuff.
I still want you to do a TikTok dance, though.
If we get to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, right, the very day that happens, I will do a TikTok dance and I'll put some right effort into it. And you know me, I cannot stand shit like that. I'll do it and I'll even try and smile.
Yeah, please can we have 100,000 people liking this?
if you came here for the politics, but you left wanting me to make a twat out of myself with the TikTok, get yourself over to YouTube. links in the pinned post, also Instagram, links in bio, you can find it there. Subscribe. Thanks for being here, the people that have been here. Yeah. For us, this is the start of something. We've put a lot of work into this over the last few months. We're not au fait with the technology, but we're getting there. Thanks to you, Alice, as well. Going forward, we'll be bringing guests in every week. Some you'll know, some you won't know. Also, there's podcasts coming out. Initially, early access for people on Patreon. You'll get early access for a week, and that's with already recorded with Sleaford Mods, Jake Hanrahan, Joe Glenton, Darren McGarvey, and I think there's like 10 or 11 podcasts or more even already recorded in the editing pile. So we're just working through them, and they're going to be going up from this week. So there'll be one up there, then it'll be going out on the YouTube channel. So please go to the YouTube channel, touch our bell so you get notifications. Touch our bell, intentional partridge. And just follow on all the things. And then obviously when we get 100,000 on YouTube, I'll do some mad twatty dance and all will be well in the world. But it really does help us if you do watch this on YouTube, because as I've said previously, and I will keep saying this as the weeks go on, we'll get those watch hours, we'll monetize the channel. It'll probably last about 6 months before we get targeted by the far right and mass reported and ripped off the internet. So on that, we do have something called Odyssey as well, and all of the videos go over to there. So I haven't actually put the link in bio yet, but I will be doing that because I've got a big to-do list now that we're starting this. Think of this as starting a new organization. Cow Daily is a completely new thing, and the whole purpose is that we'll give you daily content. Hopefully, like obviously as the patrons rise, we can start employing editors and also people can leave their jobs and do this full time and all of that good stuff. And I tell you what, try and stop us when that happens. If we're doing this like 40, 50 hours a week, Jesus, can you imagine? It'd be brilliant. So I appreciate it as well. It's just after Christmas. It's not the greatest time to launch stuff. But thanks so much to all the people who've signed up to Patreon. Absolutely love you, isn't it? Just really gives word that like little bit of like heart that like this is going in the right direction. Also thanks for tuning in tonight, everybody, and thanks for your comments. Audio files of this will be getting released as well. And also tell your friends about it, share the stream, because we're Reach is getting throttled off like loads of spurious bands we had in the past. So if you could do that, happy days. Any final thoughts there, Alice?
No. Again, thanks to everybody who's joined us in the comments. That's one of my favourite bits of the ones that we've done so far. And I look forward to seeing you all next week.
Yeah, some fantastic comments, man. All the best, everybody. Take care. See you later.